Good morning. Here on The Takeaway, we've actually discussed this issue of sexual harassment and how it's handled in the military before. I'm joined this morning by our Takeaway Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick, who's filling in for John Hockenberry. Good morning, Todd.
Hi. This is a long story, Celeste, and another wrinkle here.
It's a complicated story that we could spend the day talking about, or days. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, also his predecessor Donald Rumsfeld, and the Pentagon were all served with federal class action lawsuit papers yesterday. They're being charged with ignoring reports of sexual harassment against women in the military and contributing to an environment where such behavior, harassment, and abuse is tolerated. Plaintiffs claim this violated their constitutional rights. We've got details because Jessie Ellison is with us. She's writer and editor for Newsweek and author of the blog Equality Myth. Good morning, Jessie.
Good morning.
Maybe you could tell us exactly what this lawsuit contends.
Well, essentially, it's what you said. I mean, there's ample evidence that this is a growing problem. It gets worse and worse all the time. And despite that, Gates, Rumsfeld, and the Department of Defense have neglected to do anything substantial about it.
Well, the ACLU claims some pretty surprising thing. They say only 8% of sexual harassment cases are prosecuted in the military. Do you think that's accurate?
As far as I know, yes. And that's compared to 40% that are prosecuted among civilians.
Okay. So how many women are we talking about?
It's impossible to say. I mean, last year it was over 3,000 complaints, and the DOD itself says that that represents only 20% of actual incidents because women are so reluctant to report these their attacks so often.
And it's not just women?
It's not just women, no.
Men as well. Okay, Jessie Ellison, writer and editor for Newsweek, author of the blog called Equality Myth. We're also joined by Rebecca Havrilla, a former Army surgeon and explosive ordnance disposal technician. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning.
You have actually been through this. Maybe you could tell us what happened to you while you were serving.
My unit tended to be very substantially involved in a lot of misbehavior and bad behavior regarding sexual harassment and sexual assault towards me and other men. And my experiences were broad and far-reaching, to the point of being sexually harassed and assaulted by my team leader while I was in Afghanistan, and also being raped by a fellow colleague before I came home.
And you reported this to your higher-ups?
I did not initially. I initially utilized the Army's restricted reporting option. At that time, I was just not mentally, emotionally, or physically ready to deal with an investigation and the fallout that would occur from that. And I did not do a investigation until 2 years later.
And what happened when they did then?
It took them a while to finally be like, hey, so he said, she said, there's really not a whole lot we can do here. He was married, so we can get him for adultery, and that's about it. And it went to his command, and it has been 7 months, and I still have not heard the final disposition of what his command decided to do with that.
Okay. We're also joined by Greg Jacob, a former Infinity captain. One of his roles actually was investigating sexual misconduct in the armed services, now policy director for the Service Women's Action Network. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, when I read these statistics, the things that Jessie was just talking about in Rebecca's story, it seems unbelievable that it could be this bad of a problem. How could it be that it could be so underreported, so underprosecuted, and so underpunished?
Well, the statistics are pretty staggering. I mean, with 3,230 reports, 80% are unreported. I mean, you're looking at close to 40, over 40 assaults a day during the course of a year, which is just phenomenal numbers. And you're correct in saying that it's not just a woman's problem, but the VA, who treats veterans for military sexual trauma, which is the psychological damage that's caused by rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment in the military, 40% of those in treatment are men. So you're talking about nearly half of all MST survivors are men. The GAO did a study and found that the reason why it's underreported, there's two basic reasons. The first is that the survivors don't feel like they have any protections. There's a culture of misogyny and hate, and there's intimidation that occurs at the unit level, and all this prevents survivors from feeling safe enough to come forward. And the second reason is that they don't feel like anything's going to happen to their perpetrator, which in most cases is true. Of the 3,200 that were reported last year, only 410 cases saw the inside of the courtroom. So you're talking about an egregious number of cases that are handled through what the military calls non-judicial punishment, which is essentially applying an HR type of solution of either informal resolution or some type of a binding arbitration equivalent in conducting these cases.
Greg, you know, I was alive. I'm old enough to remember the Tailhook scandal involving in the Navy and the Marine Corps and sexual assault there. And they the Congress set out and set aside monies for a special task force to examine what's going on with sexual assault in the military. And from what I can see, the number of sexual assaults have actually risen in the armed services since that point. Why can't we get a handle on this problem?
Yes, they've gone up year over year. In the past 16 years, there have been 18 studies that have been done. The most recent study that was mandated by Congress in 2005, they finally reported out to Congress in 2010. The Pentagon has a habit of studying things and then doing absolutely nothing about it. So, you know, as a result, it takes an act of Congress, basically, to get the military to implement its own recommendations from its own studies.
All right. That's Greg Jacob, a former Infinity captain, now policy director for the Service Women's Action Network. Let me go back real quickly to Rebecca Havrilli. You are a plaintiff in this case right now against the Pentagon and Robert Gates and Donald Rumsfeld, right, Rebecca?
Yes.
What are you hoping comes out of this case?
Systematic change for a broken system and bringing about some results instead of some lip service, which is all we seem to get.
Well, that's Rebecca Havrilla, former Army sergeant who herself experienced sexual harassment. Jesse Ellison, one last question for you. What are the chances Rebecca's going to get what she wants? I mean, we're talking about a massive overhaul. They're not just talking about the way these things are, reports are taken and prosecuted, but the environment that exists in the armed services.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully there's a good chance. I mean, what Rebecca's hope is actually very simple. All she wants is an outside agency coming in to do sexual assault training. She thinks that will be critical in changing the culture. And I think that's a modest goal, and I hope it happens for them.
So you think that if they prosecute sexual assault claims more vigorously, then that would change the environment?
Well, that's part of it. I also think that, you know, outsourcing the sexual assault training so that it's not your commander making fun of the training and in Rebecca's case, getting naked and dancing around and laughing about sexual trauma in the military is critical. So
we actually approached the Department of Defense to get a comment. We have not yet received a response. That was Jesse Ellison, writer and editor for Newsweek, author of the blog Equality Myth. We also spoke with Rebecca Havrilla, former Army sergeant and explosive ordnance disposal technician, one of the plaintiffs in this case against Defense Secretary Robert Gates, Donald Rumsfeld, and the Pentagon involving reports of sexual harassment against women in the military.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.